Blog Talk Radio.
And hello again from Miami to Montreal.
You're not the best man.
Sweet cream on an ice cream sandwich.
Blew your mouth.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Baby oil.
I don't even know what that word means.
You gotta be kidding.
It's not over.
The world is listening.
Oh, my.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
Baloney, fudge, and mustard! My life is being ruined by the internet! I even flipped out this badge because my mom canceled my subscription to Warcraft. Michael Cole, you listen up and you listen good. You have this anonymous general manager. Email me personally. My address is...
My address is...
Before I begin, sincerest apologies to Mr. Jim Williams. He had created for me a literally awesome intro. Radio has eaten alive. Please adjust your internet, but I will be adjusting all the buttons in the background. Turn it right now. I'll show you what I'm up in North America. This is Nikki Hickman, and it sounds like I'm competing against something else out there. But hopefully we've got some people out here, some people in my team on here. So I'm going to start with somebody who's over on the far east side of the state. Is that you, DJ?
Yes, hello.
What's all that racket?
It'll be gone in a second. I'm just exiting the casino here in town.
Oh.
Then we go a little north of me to Toledo and Staff Boy Josh here.
Good evening, everyone. I'm currently in the land of rain. Rain, rain, and more rain.
And I see that...
I'll keep going.
I see that I have a Final Fourth in here, and it's not a fourth, but it's a man who we haven't had on the show for a little bit, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Look at it this way, Josh. At least you don't have a tropical storm heading your way.
Very true.
And
oh,
good evening.
Dear.
How are y'all? Been a while.
Going crazy.
Going crazy?
Yeah. I'll explain it off air.
All right. Fair enough.
And are you outside of the storms and the oil, are you recovering?
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's another story for another day.
I gotcha. So let's actually get to the good stuff. I'm going to start with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, where... we had a couple of briefcases pulled down, one cashed in, and our numbers didn't look too terribly bad, although given that it is a crapshoot when it comes to the two ladder matches. Three people got the Raw Money in the Bank correct with Miz, and... despite the note you put here, Josh, somebody guessed correctly on the SmackDown Money in the Bank match.
Then I screwed up somehow.
Yeah, fourth pick came.
Oh, dang it. I did have that downright. I just glossed over it.
Okay. Will that affect his score at the bottom of my list here?
I do not believe so.
Okay,
let me double check. I've got the master list in front of me. The answer is no. It will not.
Okay.
And that's a shame for fourth.
But we'll get to that in just a moment.
Right.
Just about everybody got the Sheamus Cena match right. As I will point it out, John Cena cannot beat Sheamus.
Sorry, Jim.
Mysterio Swagger, a lot of us did not have that much faith in Mysterio, given how banged up he was. But Josh, you and Typho will still, or you were correct that you both still get a point, despite the fact that Kane came down a few minutes later and took it out of Ray's gloved hands.
Thank God.
Now he can go get his frickin' knee worked on. Two easy ones, the tag title match and the Layla Kelly match. Everybody got those. And Jim and Typho got it right on Alicia Fox versus Eve Torres, Alicia retaining. So when dust settled, Jason and I utterly and horribly sucked. We are at the very bottom of the pile at 3.
That bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Josh and Jim are tied near the bottom with 4.
And it's a shame, too, considering I got 10.5 out of 13 last pay-per-view.
We all have our off days.
And we all have our on.
As fourth was just so close. If that typo had actually counted to the score, we would actually have a tie at the top. But Josh, please polish that belt and hand it over to our new NAWC Cruiserweight champion, who is probably hiding in the chat room.
Yes.
Is he over there?
Yeah, he is.
That would go to Mr. Typho.
Well played, Josh. Well played.
I'm throwing that bell in the sewage before Typho gets his grubby hands on it.
Ooh.
Let me clear some screens here because I think I missed something in the chat room. I will transcribe this Typho's comment. Raise my damn hand.
Woo! Yeah. And then Josh wants to give a Carl Crawford shot. Oh, boy.
Okay, no fighting in the chat room, Josh.
Bestie cool.
That's a baseball reference if you don't follow MLB.
I personally don't, but that is still pretty funny. What have I got? So with settle from that, we walked. Yeah.
Actually, Nikki, you know how you were saying Rey Mysterio is going to get worked on his knee? Bad news. If you watch SmackDown, Rey Mysterio just won the number one contendership for the World Heavyweight title. So he's not going anywhere.
Well, I got something for that. Ray, I'm begging you, go get them worked on, even if it's just a scope. Take a couple weeks off. You've been trying to get that vacation. Love you to death, man, but please. So, no, unfortunately, I was not able to watch SmackDown tonight because I was slightly delayed in getting my butt home. But that's okay. At least I was home Monday night, where we had a spectacular, or at least I felt spectacular, Raw. Everything moving back in the right direction. Miz prancing around with his new treasure, and cutting an awesome promo about it. No pun intended. So, Carl, what do you think? How long is Miz going to sit on that briefcase, despite the fact he tried to cash it in Monday night? Carl?
Did we lose him?
I can't hear you, Carl, if you're out there.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just throwing the question at you. Even though Miz tried to cash in, no, it's fine. I'm trying to make sure everybody gets involved, so pay attention.
I was out of the room, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Miz tried to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase made the mistake of knocking out Sheamus. Is he going to try again next week, or is he going to sit on it for a little bit? Because he could really, you know, he could really swagger and sway with that in his hands.
I think this is going to go on for a couple of months, teasing here and there. They are building him up slowly from the ground up from what I've seen in the last couple of months.
I gotta say, you know, I'm not one of his biggest fans, but his promo work is excellent. His in-ring work has improved. He's gotten himself in shape.
I'll say this. If you, I might dislike the guy's attitude, but from the way I've seen and the way he's tweeted about mostly, he's been doing a lot of out-of-the-ring activity, sort of like what Cena did when he started to try to get to the spot where he's at now.
I'll pose a hypothetical question to you, DJ. If
yes.
I told you 18 months ago Miz was going to leapfrog Morrison, would you have believed me?
Never would have believed it, because Morrison, more so than the Miz, had the look. I thought, even though Miz came from reality show stardom, that John Morrison would have had more of a crossover appeal in mainstream entertainment, in ring, outside of the ring. He was the ECW champion at one point. But Miz, I mean, he's just risen to the occasion, and I think he's going to get a run with the Money in the Bank briefcase, similar to, it's going to mirror what Mr. Kennedy's run would have been like had he not been injured. I think he's going to hold it for a long time, and they're really going to build him up as a main player. I actually think that they might next year at WrestleMania try to work Miz into that main event scene, because let's face it, he's here to stay. He's done a terrific job in his upper mid card programs. I'm shocked. I'm surprised, but when you have guys that rise to that level, it only can be a good thing, because it means new stars are being made.
And Josh, your question will be: Miz is still the U.S. champion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he will drop the U.S. title to somebody else, or will they let him have the rare honor of being a two-belt champion again?
They will drop the belt. I'm fairly certain they will have him dropping the belt. Only question is who to.
My money's on Evan Bourne. Cena's been pushing real hard to get him moved up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Evan Bourne would be pretty much the perfect U.S. champion at this point.
So, let's see. Ah, yes. And even though it is just the Monday after a pay-per-view, we've already begun our build-up for SummerSlam.
Yep. Three matches in the cards.
Summertime party, yes.
Summerfest?
Did I just steal your thunder?
No, you said it too. We both said it.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Exactly.
Yes, you do, Jeremy Piven.
So, but it's actually, no, this is a good thing. I mean, just the fact that we already know what's going on with the WWE title match. And as you told me, the World Heavyweight title match is set.
Yep.
And Cena has put his foot down and has found some buddies and is going to take on the Nexus.
Most of which are understandable. Pretty much one of them's like, really? Really? You're wanting to come in the match 6.5-on-7?
Are you talking about Kali or Bret Hart?
I'm talking about Hart. Sadly. Because he's not a wrestler. He's a punch, sharpshooter win.
Sadly, I hate to say it, but that might be how the 7-on-7 ends.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain as well, because that's exactly what they did in the dark match on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Heath Slater being the unlucky punk.
Yeah, let me go up on Twitter right quick to bring up something that Jericho tweeted about in terms of team name earlier.
Yes, because Cena had posted on Twitter that he was looking for a team name, which most of the responses I saw were very negative.
Yeah, Jericho posted something real funny. Let me find it here.
Yep. Twitter.com/IamJericho if you want to follow along.
Yep.
And
let's see.
For some new people to take a look at.
Wow.
Oh, here we go. I think I got it here. Oh, wait, one more. Should be.
Actually, it's the second one down for Twitter.com/IamJericho.
There we go. It says, Edge presents Team Jericho featuring Cena plus special guest Bret Hart.
Buzzing.
Attaboy, Jericho.
That must have been under the guise of the biggest blockbuster of the summer. He's a year late, year or two late.
Oh, 2 years, actually, because the blockbuster theme was SummerSlam 08.
In Indianapolis, right.
Yes, there. But just a quick plug for Twitter. Any of you MVP fans out there, he is finally on Twitter, at the305MVP.
And so is a certain someone.
Mm-hmm. Certain snob.
A certain someone who has voices in his head, perhaps.
But his voices...
I was going for somebody else.
Well, his voices don't tweet, so...
Wait a minute, I thought the voices did tweet, and were just pulling chains around.
No, Orton joined Twitter over the week.
I know, and I was aiming for the third person on the trio, William Regal.
Who
cares about what he thinks? He's mid-card for life.
So what was Regal's again?
Real King Regal.
And what's that? They're still playing off the damn 2008 King of the Ring.
And
my guess would have been at Bloody Sunshine.
I was expecting Man's Man Regal.
I think Bloody Sunshine's already been taken, though. And Real Man's Man doesn't exist. So, yeah, you could have taken that one.
I don't think it would have, but I thought it had to be said.
Yeah, of course.
Or MC Regal. That would have been a good one.
So, now that we're slightly off topic, but...
Okay, let's shift back on it.
Okay. Let's see who... I'll just throw this out there. My mind's a little foggy. How does Kali fit in all this? Because most of the rest of the team have had run-ins with the Nexus, and I'm trying to figure out where Kali ran into them.
Simply put, Cena wanted a giant on his team so that he could have a little bit of protection, mainly because none of the Nexus are taller than Void Barra. And he only stands, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
So it's like 6'6", something like that.
Something like that. I know he's a full head and a half taller than me.
Well, my best... Good.
Void Barra's build height is 6'5". Kali's is 7'3".
Mm-hmm.
My best explanation for it, and it's not the best one, but it's the only one I can think of, is that Michael Cole referred to it as the WWE's all-star team, or it's like an all-star team. So Kali's a guy who's been in the main event scene before. I believe, didn't he face Triple H at SummerSlam a few years back in one of the co-main events? So he has name value. He's a big name. He's a big guy, but... he kind of fits into that role better than somebody else, somebody like an Evan Bourne or a Hard Dynasty, who I'd rather see, but I guess he has more name value.
Okay.
Actually, Triple H never faced the Great Khali.
It wasn't Triple H.
It was an 08. It was 08. Sorry, I was looking at 07 originally.
Oopsie.
No, I was there. Crap, I remember
happened.
That. I was still, I'm still baffled at the fact that he actually got a pedigree off on Kali.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let's see.
Early predictions, guys. Do you think this All-Star team's got a shot against Nexus?
Yes.
Sadly,
even
yes.
Even if it is 7-on-1, Cena versus a Nexus. Cena will finally don the red S in front of him and just take them all out like that.
That's not what Kappa Amy said.
For me, it's the blow-off to the feud. I thought that maybe they'd string this out. I don't know, throw in some individual matches at the pay-per-views and then maybe have a traditional Survivor Series match, Team Nexus versus Team Cena at Survivor Series. I know they're trying to go away from that format. Maybe that's why they moved it to SummerSlam, because they didn't have anything for Cena to do. But I think it's going to be the blow-off, especially when you figure that the new NXT cast will be moving on to the other shows in the next few months, hopefully. I don't know what the schedule is, but next week's few weeks and or months, you know.
So, I expect a close match. I'd love to see the Nexus still pull it off, but you're right. It's gonna be really hard to stretch that 3 more months. Let's see.
I don't see it happen that long. Mm-mm.
And since you brought up NXT Season 2, I wanted to mention, since we've got all these guys leaving out of SCW and running up and down the road, WWE poked their heads into a couple of places and decided to get some new faces into Florida Championship.
Yeah, two new from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a former TNA X Division standout. I don't know if he ever won the title, Consequences Creed.
Austin Consequences Creed. I know he just won the, what cup was it on the East Coast? Big one. It used to be big. Then it went away. BCWA Super 8 tournament.
Okay.
And
he
never won the X Division Championship, but he did win the World Tags with Lethal. As part
mm-hmm.
of Lethal Consequences.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The other, and my OVW is weak, unfortunately, is a character listed as Beef Wellington.
It's one of four.
Beef Wellington.
Not the one you're thinking of, sadly, the one from Interspecies Wrestling and Combat Zone Wrestling fame. The guy's name is really Brent Wellington. He goes by the nickname Beef in Ohio Valley and Ohio Valley alone.
Let me see. Brent Wellington.
Check under OVWrestling.com or something to that extent.
All right, let's see. Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like a douche.
Kind of is putting it nicely.
Eh. At least he isn't a fruit booty like the television champ, who I believe has went under a different name now. And, well, yeah, he's a bit... Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
All said.
No, they... The fact that they were in Louisville a couple of weeks ago, this should have been expected, that they would have poked their heads in over at Ohio Valley to see if they could grab anybody. I kind of hoped it would have been some of the guys that I had worked with when they were coming up and working with us at Jimmy's. The Johnny Punches, guys from the Mobile Homers, Outlaw Ben Wood, Los Locos. There's a handful that they could have grabbed. So.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that boy. You got the name of the Welsh guy that they just signed. Foster child of Batista and Ivan Putski.
The one who just won the FCW World Championship off of Alex Riley.
I believe the same.
I know who you're talking about. I just have to locate his face. Mason Ryan, Welsh Tista.
Yes. We'll be. I'll give him another six, seven months, and he'll find his way up once we get the entire NXT mess sorted out.
Yeah. Only question is, will he be brought up as the brother to Big Dave?
That would be amusing. That would really be amusing. Let's see. So while WWE is doing what they should have been doing probably over the past few years and start really motivating young talent, now that a lot of their top guys are stepping down, taking time off, recovering from injuries, it seems that TNA continues its nostalgia streak, and I'm not complaining. Tommy Dreamer, along with all of the other ECW guys who have been hanging out in the audience for the last couple of months, finally got on the stick to explain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the obligatory, you know, damn you, Vince.
Yeah.
Which is justified for you know, anything that happened with that brand from 2007 to 2009. Tommy just wanted, I guess, another piece of closure. He actually wanted to end it on a note and leave it at that. What bothers me is I've got a little voice in the back of my head saying, given how over this is going to be, are they going to be able to just leave it at that? Especially since their last two pay-per-views drew a combined $111,000.
Actually, Nikki, I did have to reread that. It's 222 because it's 111,000 per pay-per-view.
Okay. Still, that is abysmal.
That's still not better, though.
Yeah, because I remember seeing Carl posting something on Facebook concerning it only got 8,000 buys in the last two pay-per-views. Back in the early days, it was getting, what, 30,000 to 40,000? That's frightening.
That's frightening and it's worrisome. I mean, this plan for taking their next pay-per-view, titling it Hardcore Justice and grabbing as many ECW guys as that can still work.
And
specify that.
Plus, on the YouTube of TNA, they posted a new promo up. Pretty much confirming Jerry Lynn, Sabu, and Sandman going to be there.
And if I remember right, seeing from what I've heard from Jerry Lynn's own website, he's facing RVD for the title.
Yeah, that match is pretty much on set.
Yeah. That one's been going around. The fact that we already had the Dudleys, RVD, Rhino, Taz, who claims he knew nothing of what was going on. Maybe he didn't. And the fact that Dixie went on camera to say, if you're going to do it, you guys do it. Well, for the most part, that's what they did with the original One Night Stand. This was mostly the ECW guys putting all that together. It was just Vince's money machine getting it out there. So
only this time won't be no interest of bringing it back full time, at least, thank God.
Right. So
I go two ways on this. On one hand, you would think it's got to be better than the buys that TNA's been getting recently on pay-per-view, because there is still a market for that old ECW flair. I mean, TNA has continued to give away big money matches and angles on pre-television. I mean, Samoa Joe and Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe and Rob Van Dam in the last few weeks. Kurt Angle and his quest to plow through the top 10, you know, with his career on the line, every match should be a pay-per-view match. It should be treated like something special with a big build to it. So, I mean, if TNA can't do these pay-per-views correctly, if they can't get enough buzz going for their own pay-per-views, maybe it's a good thing to have something here in the middle of all of it to have them kind of take a break, step back, regroup. On the other hand, I mean, I don't know how this is going to go off. Who's going to be booking? Is it going to be Vince Russo? Is it going to be Tommy Dreamer himself? Are a lot of the ECW guys going to have a say in what's going on? And to me, the one-night stand pay-per-view in 05 had the benefit of tremendous workers. You had an Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Lance Storm, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio. You had that awesome match between Awesome and Masato. Was it Masato Tanaka?
Yeah.
I mean, you had an awesome match there. Jerry Lynn and RVD, 5 years ago, if they could have done it, 10 years ago, I'd be all for it. And Jerry Lynn can still go, as evidenced by his work in ROH. To me, having those two headline one of the big two companies' pay-per-view, I don't know about that. Maybe at a huge indie show or at some kind of a live event special super show, maybe from Philly or from Hammerstein, that would be okay for TNA. But as a headlining a pay-per-view, it just doesn't get me all that excited. Unless it's done right and booked right, and I don't have enough confidence in TNA to do that because I don't know who's going to be doing it. So I guess I kind of go both ways on it.
Well, the other thing is, you know, we're talking about right now and leading up to the pay-per-view. This doesn't have any long-term value for TNA, does it, Josh?
It only has a very, very limited future value for TNA because they are looking at the ECW guys to see if they're still able to go. The bad thing is they'll pick up only the ones that can't because, well, Dixie Carter's kind of, dents in the head.
And as Carl brought up, a lot of the guys that they're going to be bringing in, the Sabus and the Sandmans, those aren't guys who are
full-time wrestlers anymore.
Yeah, those aren't guys that are going to be brought in. And if they are brought in and they are given a position within the company, what good does that do people like Beer Money and the Motor City Machine Guns and Douglas Williams and these guys that, you know, bust their ass on the undercard?
Yeah.
Sad but true.
It is a shame. And I've just, you know, I've heard that Sabu is, you know, not in the best of shape. And I can only imagine what kind of shape Sandman's in.
He probably plopped up a little bit still.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it could be fun if they have those types of guys who can't go, bring them in, as I heard from one website, maybe just to do interviews or to do different segments, you know, something like that. And if you're going to put them in a match, put them all in one big hardcore brawl. Like I said before, the WWE version highlighted a lot of the good in-ring work that ECW had in the mid to late 90s. But TNA, I mean, they book their own show like ECW sometimes with Ric Flair every time he gets into the ring bleeding like a stuck pig. So, I mean, yeah, who's to say that all these matches might follow that same formula with you know, Team 3D and Dreamer and all these different guys, Dr. Stevie, you know, Stevie Richards. So it depends on what formula they follow. If they put on good matches and maybe throw some of these novelty acts into one segment or one match, I wouldn't mind it so much.
Now, since, you know, you bring up the original one-night stand and the fact that this has kind of been done before, and I'm, you know, holding my tongue and not going to go on another tirade about TNA and reruns. Does Vince try to shut this down? Does Vince actually step up and say, hey, I own the library, I own the copyrights, you can't do this? Does he care? What do you think, Carl?
What?
Does he care? That's a good question. Well, if you notice in that latest promo, they didn't put the chance in.
Yeah, that's a good point by Carl. TNA has the benefit of a pre-taped show where they can edit out anything, blur out anything that is the intellectual property of another entity. You had the ECW chance. You had the ECW on the sign. The Dixie Carter and the wrestlers themselves never made mention of ECW, I don't believe, specifically. They just used the words extreme and, you know, different variations on that. But I think if it continues, if there's any semblance of, you know, those letters, I don't know. I would think Vince and Jerry McDevitt might get together and weigh the pros and cons, and a company that does so many thousand buys for their regular pay-per-views, they might figure it's not worth it because they could be drawing attention to the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, so it might not even be worth it for them.
Josh, what do you think?
Huh? You in the where now? Are you talking to me or going off on Typho land?
No, I don't. I'm not even looking in the chat room. I was just going to throw, get your viewpoint on this one, Josh. Does Vince try to stop it? Does he care?
I don't know if he cares, but there may be a chance they stop it. If they do, as DJ said, if the letters E, C, and W are used in that order, they're going to be in trouble. But as is, they're barely skirting by because Riot Makers, well, that's the name of the group anyway, kind of really silly. But, yeah, I don't watch TNA too much, but I do know that much because... Well, yeah.
Speaking of that, I got a couple of questions, but we'll save it for later on. I need to ask expert opinions on something. It has to do with TNA, so.
Unfortunately, I'm still not quite the expert, even though I have been watching the last few weeks.
I'm not talking about watching. I'm talking about in terms of actually going and seeing a show.
Actually, I can answer that. I've been to TV.
Okay. Have you been to any recent ones? Any this year?
Not this year.
I've been to a live event in March. If that's of any help.
What was the match list?
You had AJ versus Abyss. You had Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett versus Beer Money. I'm trying to remember. Kaz and Amazing Red and Homicide, I believe. Triple Threat. Magnus and Rob Terry. They had a knockouts tag with the Beautiful People versus Sarita and Taylor Wilde.
Seems like so far long ago. I wonder what it'd be like now.
What it would be now, you'll see probably Jeff Hardy, probably RVD, probably the Guns. I think they split up somehow. They have some enough talent now that I think they split up the roster
because
on one night they actually held two separate shows. So I think what they do is when they don't have two shows on the same night in some areas, they'll have like one weekend on, one weekend off, one weekend on, one weekend off. So you might see, say they take Hardy, Angle, they'll split those two up. RVD, Anderson, they'll split those two up somehow. And they'll take, you know, Motor City Machine Guns, put them on one house show run, but Beer Money on another. So probably just be best to check maybe the arena website or the TNA Live Events. They have their own new website now, TNALiveEvents.com. Yeah,
okay,
I think they're actually going to Thibodeau, aren't they?
Yes, they are on the 14th.
And Josh, they're going to Toledo on September 11th of this year. They're going to be at Lucas County. Or Seagate Center, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Luke. I wish it was Lucas County, but they would not even be able to fill the bottom.
Yeah. I will not be going because I have Ohio State-Miami football tickets, so I'll be in Columbus that day.
Eh.
Okay, the one question I had, expert-wise, when you buy your ticket, what do y'all suggest going under the print out your own thing on Ticketmaster, or?
I usually have them mailed to me just because it doesn't cost anything, and they're usually mm-hmm. pretty good about getting them you get them within a week or two.
What I've always done for mine is because I like to have keepsakes just of the events themselves, is that what I do, and I'm a little leery of the mail because I've had events in the past where the tickets haven't been mailed to me in time, and I think Nikki's had to do this too, go to the box office and get a copy of your ticket. But I do the $1 extra on your thing, and you go to any outlet, show them your ID and your confirmation number, and they'll print it out for you. There. So I've always gotten them like on the way to a show. And another thing just to add on, I don't know if TNA runs any specials, but before the last time I got a ringside seat, I also got a free TNA DVD that was included with the price of my ticket. So that might be something, an option that you look into. I don't know if they still do that, but that's what they did when I was at Wheeling in March.
And I
okay,
really
so just go with the mail.
Either, you can spend the extra dollar and pick them up at an outlet. It's like $2 to print them out yourself, but it'd be on plain paper. It depends on, do you want the ticket as a keepsake?
Okay. Yeah, it's well and within the range. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
I missed out on going to the TNA show here in Columbus, but I had looked at the card and RVD wasn't going to be there, so...
Yeah, I'm trying to look for a card. I don't know where it is.
But I saw a pretty good list come back from. I don't know where they are tonight, but they were apparently within reach for another super fan. I don't know if anybody here follows the Clowns. And I'm not talking ICP.
Yeah, I actually heard of him earlier today when I was listening to another podcast.
Yeah, Frank Mastari, a.k.a. Frank the WWE Clown.
Yeah.
He's at a TNA show tonight, and he actually got to go backstage. And he got like 7 or 8 people right off, including Kevin Nash, Jeff Hardy, and Anderson.
Okay. I'll go because it'd be the first time I ever go to a live wrestling event.
And Carl, I think you really like it because it's very fan interactive. When I went to Wheeling, they had D'Angelo De Niro signing autographs before the show. You had the beautiful people at intermission. You had Jeff Jarrett after the show signing autographs, and they sent people to the ringside area. I got Rob Terry. I got Madison Rain. I got a number of people there. Kurt Angle was in the ring. You get to go into the ring, take pictures for $20. You get people walking around. I got Karen Angle. D'Lo Brown as an agent was walking around. Got him. Ronnie Lang with Atlas Security. I got him. Earl Hebner. I got a picture and autograph with him. Don West was at the merchandise table. I got him. So there's a lot of people to be had, and they're out walking around and, doing different interactive events, Jeremy Borash is around signing autographs, taking pictures, so you get a bang for your buck. Every TNA show you go to, they're really good in the live event department.
Mm. What would you normally bring us to sign a shirt or something?
Go ahead, Nikki.
Yeah, I was going to say, I usually have my stretch of pictures. They also usually have, they'll sell programs at the show, so you could probably get one with the whole roster.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And theirs is like $10, but it's about the same size as the WWE one.
And I think, too, for some of the autograph signings, like they'll say, he'll sign it for free if you, if you have the post, if you have the, program. I had the program already, so I didn't have to worry about that. And I also bought Poop sunglasses, so I got a picture with him, too. So, but afterwards, all the autographs are free after when they come around the ring, so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's
okay.
What they did a couple years ago in Troy.
Yes.
Because I got a whole bunch of people there, and I got that goofy picture of We took a goofy picture of Jay Lethal shaking hands with Roddy Hogan, the super fan who dressed up as Hulkster from Michigan.
Yeah, I remember that.
Too bad Lethal wasn't dressed up. It would have been a perfect picture. Oh.
I've had pretty good luck with TNA. I went to two shows in Troy. I went to a show in Columbus at the old Franklin County Vet. That's where I got in the ring with Joe and Styles for a picture. And then at Wheeling, they had Kurt Angle again. I didn't go into the ring this time because I'd been in the ring like three times with him before. But, you know, they have an eclectic mix of wrestlers on the end and knockouts, and other talents on the outside signing autographs. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
How did I run out of material? That's not possible. We have 15 minutes left in the show, and I'm running short on material. What did we miss?
Lucha Libre USA.
Oh crap! I don't know. Shit.
Yeah. Second episode just aired about an hour ago, 10-11 p.m. Eastern.
Ah, damn it.
Can I go on a quick diatribe on an idea that I had for Cena on Raw on Monday?
Shoot. All
right.
For it. Go for it. I got to hear this.
Okay. They kind of – I was thinking about maybe they were going to do some kind of an angle on Monday with Cena possibly – you know, teasing on joining the Nexus, but they kind of gave it away in the middle of the show during his promo where he said, you know, if you can't beat him, and then he walked away, you knew he wasn't going to join him. But if he said, you know, I want to see Wade Barrett in the ring, I have something important to say to him tonight, and I want all the Nexus to be there, and left it at that. My idea would be for him to come in at the end of the show, you know, have him do the same thing, you know, offer the truce, blah, 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 and he says, no, but I want you to be a part of Nexus. And, for Cena to say, I have to think about it, and walks up the ramp. Now, if memory serves me correctly, at the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, he took one of the next armbands with him.
Yes.
Am I correct in that?
Yes, you are.
Okay. My plan for that would have been for him to walk back to the top of the ramp and, you know, Wade Barrett saying, you know, no, I'm not giving you enough time. Cena come back here, you know, and he gets to the top of the ramp and he said, if you make one more step without answering us, we're going to make your life a living hell. This will be a walk in the park. What happened with us before will be a walk in the park compared to what will happen in the future. So he stops, he turns back and gives the Undertaker look over his shoulder, and then he slowly takes off his, you know, his orange, you can't, you know, see me hat or whatever it is, orange and blue hat. He peels off his shirt, lays it down, you know, and he's looking like, well, maybe he's, you know, shedding the John Cena image, and he has his own armbands. He takes off his armbands, and then he pulls out of his pocket the Nexus band. He looks at it, and he looks up at them. He looks up. He's just about ready to put it on, and then he throws it into the crowd, and then he goes into announcing his team for SummerSlam. I thought that would have been a better tease than the way they did it.
No, I'm digging that. I know I've talked about this on a previous show, but I'm going to throw a theory out there that I was really, really intrigued with. Where when Triple H comes back, and I've heard he might not even be back for Survivor Series.
Wow.
I've heard as far out as December, but I don't know. But should he come back closer to Survivor Series, he could really step out, really, you know, come out as a cerebral assassin, and the fact that he's been playing just about everybody, as in he could be the mystery GM because he'd be a smartass with all the wrestler references and the emails, and I think he types reasonably fast. We know that Shawn Michaels can't type very fast. He might be the one controlling the Nexus. After all, he had them take out Vince. He take out Vince, so Vince is no longer controlling the company. The son-in-law is now in charge. And look, he's got his. He's already got a handful of people ready to take over the main event, who would be loyal to him.
That's a possibility. Plus, you know, they have the truce with Sheamus. He could say, "Hey, you know, I told them to keep Sheamus for me." You know, I wanted to handle him myself.
Exactly. And to throw another log on the fire, he was the one who ordered the hit on The Undertaker because Taker retired Shawn. Whether he did it himself or he had the Nexus do it or, you know, he got somebody else to do it.
Yeah. And you could also logically bring in the fact that why they're attacking John Cena, because you could just say, they always said it's a part of a bigger plan. It's not just you, because Cena was the one who basically got Batista out of the WWE. And am I correct in thinking that Bret Hart was too, or? I can't remember the context of Batista quitting the WWE. Because, you know, he could bring in that and say, hey, I had Ric Flair, I had Shawn Michaels, I had Batista. Well, he wouldn't mention Ric Flair, but I had Shawn Michaels and Batista as my best buddies, and they're both gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Bret was a little more responsible for it because he was the one who was trying to make Batista face Cena despite his injuries. So you can do that right now or you can forfeit. I'd rather quit.
Yeah, so you could maybe tie it in that way with Cena and giving him the injuries and Bret Hart forcing him to quit, forcing his hand, making him quit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just a thought.
It's a good thought. It would be, you know, when and if he comes back, and for some of the snarkers out there, that'll keep him out of the ring and away from the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm.
But it's just, you know, again, just a thought.
Yeah.
And if you all want to get into another segment real quick, because, you know, we have time to kill, what does everybody think about, we talked about The Miz winning Money in the Bank and what that could potentially do for him. What do you all think about Kane winning Money in the Bank and then cashing in on Mysterio and becoming the World Heavyweight Champion? What are your thoughts on Kane?
About time. Kane was overdue to have another title reign and one longer than 24 hours, especially with the about, 15 years he's put in with the company as both Dr. Isaac Yankem and Kane.
I agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the man deserved it. The man deserved the World Heavyweight title. Hopefully he can retain beyond SummerSlam. Because right now, Mysterio, all I'd have him do is just swat him down like a fly and take out his knee for good.
And I've said it in the past, I mean, Kane has been a loyal, organizational soldier. He's put over dozens of guys. He's made them look like $1 million. I don't think you'd have anybody in the company argue, even those guys that are kind of looking for that push, that want to become a world champion in the future. Even those guys will tell you that Kane deserves this, and they're happy to see it. For me, he's getting the run that I wanted Shawn Michaels to have before he retired, that last world championship run. But Kane even more so deserves it because he only had it for 24 hours. He's been the most consistently entertaining promo on SmackDown since the whole Memorial Day angle. He's interacted well with the top superstars, with Swagger, with Ray, and with Punk. So, he definitely deserves it. I don't think you're diminishing the brand or diminishing the belt or the show by having Kane. I think it only adds to his character, and he's an intelligent guy. He's well-respected backstage. And, you know, and an interesting tidbit, actually, he is the first WWE superstar to hold all three versions of the WWE versions of the World Championship. He won the WWE Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship and the ECW Championship. Now, Big Show is a little bit different because his was the WCW title, not the World Championship, World Heavyweight title. So, Kane is actually the first person to hold all three belts.
Mm-hmm.
And you touched on this, DJ, the fact that there nobody can say a bad thing about Kane, and there's a lot of things that he's had to put up with storyline-wise. Some of the some of the crazy crap that he's had to deal with, and between between all the silly romances, Katie Vick, sorry, I had to bring it up.
Fake Kane.
Yeah,
which really fits a whole lot better. I don't know why that failed, but I hate to say, I've enjoyed watching Kane, through the years, and I was the first one. Both me and my friend Victor had made the comment, since the only reason he's actually going to break his record about being a title holder was the fact that SmackDown taped on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Not very nice, and I apologize ahead of time to Kane.
Mm-hmm. Although, well, I've had the opportunity to meet him. I know you have, Nikki, and he's nothing but a gentleman, very well spoken, very intelligent, and he's a guy that really the young guys, the NXT class, the FCW guys, really anybody should want to emulate as a professional wrestler. So congratulations, Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And please hold it. Please hold it for a few months. I would really enjoy that. And I'll even take the storyline somebody mentioned on WrestleCrap that they thought it'd be kind of cool that when Undertaker finally shows up, Kane will ask him, who did this to you? Do you know? And Taker will look at him and say, I put myself out because that seems to motivate you and make you into the monster that I know you can be. And look where it got you. And then he tombstones Kane and takes it back from him. Anyway,
And an interesting, I saw the same thing, Nikki, that you said, but then Kane says, I promised to take out whoever it was that took you out, and, I'm going to take you out, basically, and that sets up their match. And it doesn't make, it doesn't make Kane look stupid by saying it was me, Taker, was me all along,
Mm-hmm.
So, it sets it up. And funny you mentioned, the guy that usually posts those, I think his name is like Brad the Rat or something. He always posts like nonsensical, kind of silly, kind of funny potential future storylines. But this is like the first one in a long time that I can remember going, wow, that's very good. I would love to see that, actually. So.
I would too. And I just hope they don't screw this up because Kane really does deserve this.
Yeah, he's been money, pardon the pun.
No, and they simply made it very symbolic, got him a briefcase, and then he beat Ray over the head with it. And
really, the TNA can learn from this too, because here's a guy in Kane that doesn't need the belt. He's an older performer. He's, on his last legs. There's been a lot of talk about his retirement, but they gave him the belt. Look at what he's done in the lead-up to it, and look at what he did tonight. His promo to start the show was very good. So, that's a lesson to TNA, that you can take older performers and still make them interesting, fit them into the context of a show with younger stars like a Jack Swagger. TNA could do the same thing with Rob Van Dam. They haven't done much with him as champion. They haven't made him seem as important. They just make him seem like another guy that happens to carry around the belt, which is a waste of incredible talent in Rob Van Dam. So.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, in our last minute, Carl, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, sure. The BS Big Show at blogtalkradio.com/BS Big Show will be back on Monday night. Don't know what time yet, though.
Okay.
I've got nothing. Except for WrestleCrap.com. Go there.
And DJ, do you have anything?
I have nothing to plug, never mind. I have nothing to plug.
Not even a tool wall outlet.
I'll make it quick. I promise that I will update my website this weekend with my Bret Hart and Sonny pictures. I promise.
All right.
You can keep it to that because it's been recorded, and that's the North American Wrestling Connection. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
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 Okay, now I heard that a couple people wanted to talk about something, or did we need to...
It was just generally me wanting to talk about what happened this last week. Tess, what I told you at the beginning of the show to Carl, essentially. I've been busy with Tess and, my neighbor who lived behind me, when I lived there for about 10, 15 years, committed suicide Sunday morning.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. I'm not completely shaken, it's just nagging me in the back of my head.
That's crazy.
Yeah, well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and get off and chillax on the net for a bit before I hit the hay. So, guys, wish you the best of luck. Good night, and I'll talk to you later.
Night, Josh.
See you later, Josh.
Later.
DJ, I'll catch up with you later. I'm not going to be up much longer myself because I've got a review tomorrow morning of my own.
Hmm. Well, good luck to you. Hope everything swings your way.
As long as the guys like what I've put together, I think I'll be good. So I'll fill you in on it more. I mean, between work and working out and trying to get my the rest of my act together, squeezing this in was kind of funny. So I'll fill you in on it later.
Awesome. Well, I'll see y'all later. Thanks for having me on the show. It's fun as always, and yeah, it was fun, so.
Stay out of trouble, man.
Alrighty, well, good night, everybody.
Night.